Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome into the Online Enquirer podcast, a little bit of an emergency edition, a little bit later in the day, but let's talk about Kofi Coburn being suspended 3 games, not as many as some people thought it could be, but more than a lot of people wanted it to be with the ever popular NCAA. But we also got to talk at the end of this pod. We're actually recording a little bit later than we wanted because we watched Ayo Dosunmu play a huge part in a comeback win. So we'll chat about that a little bit later. But Derek Piper joining us now. 3 games for Kofi Coburn. Derek Piper, when you got that email from Derek Burson of the Illinois Sports Information Department, what was your initial thought?
Yeah, I still think that, as we talked about throughout, you know, leading up to this and expecting some kind of discipline, I thought anything above 2 games was probably excessive. I do agree that it could have been a lot worse, and it is decently favorable as you look into it and you check out the schedule. And anything beyond that 3 threshold, of course, you're going to miss a big game against Marquette, but then, of course, Hall of Fame Classic, all that kind of deal. So one real test out of that, that's not terribly concerning. I think you do look at Marquette, and it's a game that there's not a lot to know in terms of what they're going to be because they got so many newcomers. They've got a handful of freshmen coming in. They lost all 5 starters. Dawson Garcia is not there anymore, DJ Carton. It's not ideal. It's not one that you're happy with. And I know that there's a lot of pushback both from Illini Nation and even some national reporters. Jeff Goodman, Jay Billis have pushed back on the punishment. And I would agree because it is something, as Illinois put out in their release, that it would have been legal just a month after. But again, it was something that when Kofi did it, he obviously knew that at the time it wasn't something that allowed him to retain eligibility because he's planning on staying in the draft. And so he broke a rule, he got punished for it. I think it's a little bit excessive, but at the same time, it's not killing your season or anything. So I think it's a game too heavy, personally.
Yeah, which is fair. Like, if you want to say that, I thought the 2 or 3 game, I thought that was about right. Like, for what the infraction was. And let's just talk about it. The infraction for people that are just joining this, or we should just whiteboard this, is Coburn sold Illini-issued gear, right? So stuff he'd worn at Illinois, and you couldn't do that in June. That was against NCAA rules for the last hundreds of years, right? Or last 100 years or whatever it is. And that was before, a month before, the NIL rule went into effect for both the NCAA and Illinois. Okay, so he made, it sounds like, some decent money off of that, and that's against amateurism rules when he did it. So the bottom line is he broke an NCAA rule, and he is now paying a penalty. So I don't have a problem with the NCAA in this instance. This is an easy case for them, right? They see he sold it, and he broke a rule. I think he actually probably got fewer games than they normally would have done in previous years because the NIL rule. And I'm sure Illinois, with its back and forth with the NCAA, discussed that a lot. And Brad Underwood agrees with you that this was a little bit too much. He said, "We are disappointed with the 3-game suspension because there were unprecedented factors and altered timelines related to his decision to ultimately withdraw from the NBA draft and return to school." So it was about a month later than normal because of COVID, of when he could withdraw and when he could not. That said, we understand and respect the NCAA's decision in this matter. He goes on to say Kofi's attitude and outlook remain upbeat and positive. So Underwood agrees. Of course, he's got a very vested interest in Kofi Coburn being on his team. But in the end of the day, like, Derek, like, Illinois knew when he sold gear. Like, we've been talking about this since June and July, right? They knew he could face NCAA suspension, and this isn't the worst slap on the wrist. I know people don't like it. The NCAA, I think, you know, Goodman, Billis, all of this, the NCAA, with this rule coming after NIL is all passed, like, they can do this stuff now. But Coburn did know at the time that this was a rule, or he should have known, and it was just kind of not very smart, to put it bluntly, for Kofi to sell this before he ultimately made his decision. So it's a shame that he now has to sit 3 games. But for Illinois, it shouldn't change their season, right? And if we were talking 8-10 games, that would have changed their season.
Yeah, you said it perfectly there. That is the bottom line, that it doesn't alter where Illinois can ultimately go. Even you think even personally about Kofi, a Big Ten preseason player of the year, can he still win the type of awards, have the type of numbers that he ultimately wants? I know that it's 10% of, you know, roughly his regular season, but still, he can show up in Kansas City for the Hall of Fame Classic, still have plenty of season to play. And like you said, yeah, we have been talking since the summer, and their buzz even around the program back then is like, okay, he's probably going to serve a small suspension, miss a couple of games. And that is what we're looking at right now, a couple of games. And just got to get past it, got to get through it. I know you would have wished, and we can talk about this a little bit, would have wished to see a little bit more out of Omar Payne in these exhibition games. And that amplifies the fact that maybe he's not where you want him to be. Are you worried about that for Jackson State, Arkansas State? No, probably not. But Marquette is still a Power 5 high major type of team, and going to need to be at a certain level. I think you just want to play really well to, you know, win on the road against a team that is going to have some talent at the very least.
Yeah, I want to get to that. But can we talk about the reaction to this real quick, Derek?
Yes.
Can we stop with the Mark Few parallels here? There is no parallel between getting a DUI and selling gear. The NCAA can police amateurism. That's what they are supposed to produce or police, right? Like, that is their jurisdiction. Kofi Coburn's an easy slam dunk case. Mark Few needed to be prosecuted by the law where he broke the law, which I think was Idaho. And then his employer, Gonzaga, suspended him for a game. The NCAA didn't even rule on that, right? Like, there's no jurisdiction there. I had a problem, Derek, 10 years ago when the NCAA got involved in the Penn State case, because I felt that wasn't within their jurisdiction. That was Penn State, and that was the police. I know that's not popular because people want to see the hammer of something so terrible, right? But I just felt like the NCAA, like, there needs to be the law enforcement involved with that. But what we can compare this to is the Ohio State scandal. Back a decade ago, that cost Jim Tressel his job. Those players, remember, Terrell Pryor was suspended 6 games of a season, so half his season, and he just went into the supplemental draft. He just said, screw this. So think about if that were the case for Kofi Coburn. Like, if he missed half the season, he might have said, well, should I even do this? Right? So you don't have that happening. And I do understand this is the other side of it. The NCAA is terrible at punishing its coaches. Right, like the fact that Will Wade is no punishment, I think, right? I don't think he served any real punishment. That is ridiculous when he is caught on tape red-handed. And that tells you how toothless they are with these big coaches who have a lot of agents, have lawyers, all of this stuff, while these players, they're pretty powerless to fight against it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with what you had to say there. Will Wade's a great example. Even someone like Bill Self, who it still needs to play out that whole process of the appeal by Kansas and everything. It just takes so long. I know that Illinois could selfishly sit there and say, why don't we just have Kofi appeal this? And in the standard time that coaches and programs get to have an appeal, Kofi's going to be playing in the NBA, G League, in his middle of his professional career by the time they actually rule on this. But
Can I react to that? You don't want to get him suspended for Big Ten games, right? If you appeal, and you don't want to say this doesn't happen for a year or whatever, like you're saying, you don't want to turn in any banners, right? So just take the 3 games and move on with it.
Yeah, correct. And especially, again, this is such a small small window.
Take the plea deal and get a misdemeanor, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you bring up a great point with you in terms of NCAA ruling on everything. I know that you can look at each quote unquote infraction or just action and kind of weigh what should be punished more. But like you said, the NCAA acting on this one, because it's with clearly open and shut case, and few is more of a Gonzaga deal in terms of what they want to do and how that plays out. So
Do we want like the NCAA getting involved in every off the court infraction of players, right? Like I don't want that. I don't want that with they got enough to deal with that they don't seem very good at. So I'd rather they not get involved in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that one other example you could use and some people have thrown out there is the Rashad Bateman, is when he took money from an agent, ended up paying it back, and was ultimately granted full eligibility, no suspension. But that was a little bit different because the Big Ten football season was suspended and postponed. Like Kofi knew that if you were to come back to college, there was going to be a season, and selling that gear at that point in time was pre-NIL. So it was pretty clear cut at that time that was jeopardizing his eligibility and that he was going to stay in the draft. That was his plan versus someone that said, okay, I'm not going to have a college football season. I'm going to sign with an agent. So it's a little bit of a different circumstance versus Bateman having no punishment and Kofi getting something.
Yeah, and the other thing there is, like, if Kofi was like, hey, I knew NIL was passing, it's like, well, just wait a month. just wait a month and then sell all that gear. Okay, I just wanted to get that out of the way because I do think there's plenty you can criticize the NCAA over, including the cases we brought up, but the Mark Few thing, I don't understand. Okay, so how does this impact Illinois, Derek? Obviously, you think you can beat Jackson State and Arkansas State without Kofi Coburn, but it becomes just a little more dangerous because Kofi Coburn, I can't see those teams having any chance of beating Illinois with Kofi Coburn, because I was looking at the rosters, 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", are their tallest guys on those rosters, and Kofi simply, he could walk into those games and probably get 20 and 10 within the first 25 minutes, right? The Marquette game, you don't know what to expect because it's Shaka Smart. It's a new team. You know, they got a bunch of transfers, but they did lose a lot of talent, including the one we know, Dawson Garcia, who's now at North Carolina. It makes things a little bit more nerve-wracking heading into these couple games. Like, how do you feel? Like, do you think they'll drop one? I think the good news is, Derek, this team should be good enough where dropping one of these games shouldn't impact them hugely in their resume.
No, I don't think it would too much. And I know that, I mean, you're shooting for a one seed, you're shooting for being ranked in the top 10, top five in the country. So each game is going to matter in that sense. But in terms of the first two, Jackson State, Arkansas State, I know the Jackson State preseason KenPom's like in that 290 to 300 range, not a team that should challenge you and test you all that much. Arkansas State's a little bit more respectable. I think I was looking it up before the pod, sixth preseason in the Sun Belt. So middle of the pack in their conference, but we're still talking about like 200, you know, 175 to 225 in terms of KenPom. So a team that you should absolutely beat. And like you were saying, like their size, 6'8", is about the tops of what they're going to bring to the table. So even without Kofi, whether you're going to slot in Omar Payne and hopefully get better production out of him, start Coleman Hawkins at the five and play a little bit different in terms of the stretch big man that's not the bruiser but can still protect the rim and rebound some, I wouldn't worry too much. And then Marquette, like, they lost their whole starting five, so not just their starting front court and Theo John and Dawson Garcia. I was doing a little bit of research, preliminary research on them. Kirk Kaweth is the guy that you got to look at, transfer from Oklahoma, and his profile is pretty similar to Omar Payne. You look at a power five program in Oklahoma, averaged about 5 points, four rebounds a game, was one of the top shot blockers actually in the Big 12, about 1.5 per game. So he's long, skinny, athletic, 6'10", 220. So he's probably going to be their starting five man. But, and you would think matchup, if he had to see Kofi just with the size and the physicality, he would be completely overmatched. Can he hold his own against Omar and Coleman Hawkins? Probably. I think that's more of a even matchup at the very least. So that would make you think, but Illinois with their, if they're at full strength in their backcourt with their other pieces, they should be able to win. But you know, going on the road at Marquette is going to be tough, but they should win, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think we respect the heck out of Daryl Morcell. He can shut down some of those Illinois guards. So it makes that one a little bit more nerve-wracking, that's for sure. But the silver lining of this, Derek, is it is only three games. Kofi gets back for the Hall of Fame Classic, but also this might give you some valuable playing time and maybe some confidence for Coleman Hawkins, who doesn't seem to be lacking for it right now with the way he's playing. But also, as you said, Omar Payne only played 18 minutes. And I thought with this looming, they might force feed that a little bit more. So that's what's kind of weird about this. You've been hitting on it with Underwood with some of your questions. Like, what do you need to see out of Omar? And it's a little concerning that he's only played 18 minutes and hasn't made a huge impact in those minutes. So what do you think? Like, can this be – because I'm thinking – hey, when you got to play somebody, Kofi Coburn gets into foul trouble, and he's usually pretty good about it, but maybe this can pay off these three games without Kofi when that happens eventually.
Right. I know that Underwood did say after the Indiana-PA game that it was a tighter game and they wanted to get Kofi the ball and wanted, you know, they felt like they missed him a lot as far as post feeds and went away from him in the first half, so wanted to get him the touches in the second half. But 28 minutes in that game was – really surprising out of Kofi, and only 9 for Omar.
Brad was nervous about losing the game. I think he was like, we got to get Kofi in there so we don't lose this and embarrass ourselves.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair for sure. I think with Omar in particular, you would have thought, based on the expectation, all this buzz, even leading into the game, in fact, that Underwood had to address it himself in the midweek last week in the press conference, showed they were aware and expecting something imminent, that you would have played Omar even if you didn't necessarily love the minutes, just try to get the juices going and get some game action, and to only play 9 minutes in that the last one and 8 in the previous one, just it's a little head scratching. And I know he hasn't made a huge impact when he's been on the court, and the rebounding was something that frustrated Underwood when he only has 1 in that game against Indiana PA in the 9 minutes he played. He's got to be able to figure it out. I mean, but this is a guy that's played at the high major level. It's not like he's a freshman or someone that's completely foreign to D1 basketball. So was he sending a message? Was it just – did it just boil down to just trying to win the game? I think there's a mixture of all of that. But hopefully you get that sorted out in practice. But like you're saying with Coleman, like, it's a guy playing with a lot of confidence. And I think that based on the matchups here early in the season, you can get away with playing him at the 5 and not worry about, you know, Hunter Dickinson putting him under the basket because of his size.
Yeah, I think Coleman gets a start. Right, like Coleman, Jacob Grandison, if DeMonte's healthy, Trent and Andre. I think that would probably be your starting lineup, and I think that's probably your best lineup, because, I mean, Coleman against these teams, I think, can really succeed. It's when you get to the Big Ten teams you mentioned in there that you probably can't pull that off unless those guys are off the court.
Yeah, I think that him playing the stretch four is going to be more comfortable in the Big Ten, and you're still going to want at times to maybe even have the flexibility, especially if Payne continues to struggle. I know it's really, really early in the season, but to have Coleman as an option at the 5, they like the dynamic of pick and pop and pulling some big guys away from the paint and stressing them defensively. But yeah, I think that guarding those big physical 5s is something that he's probably still going to struggle with, but early on shouldn't be too big of a concern. And I think I agree with you. I think that that's the best lineup they can throw out there right now. That would be my expectation as well.
All right, last thing on this. Are you concerned at all? Because, like, if you would have gone 8 games or 6 games or something like that, Derek, where you can start worrying about losing some games that are important to you. But are you worried at all about working Kofi in? Like, you know what I mean? Like, having a new team again, like having to reset 3 games into the season with Kofi coming back. Any concern about that?
I don't think so too much. I know that we'll have to see it play out and everything, and you are going to – his first game is going to be a meaningful game against Cincinnati. It's not going to be like playing some low major at home and get away with whatever rust is there or whatever, just adjustment of that guy being on the court. I do think they'll play differently without Kofi, like the amount of post touches, whether it's going to be – you're not going to throw the ball on the block to Coleman. Omar Payne hasn't been that throughout his career, even at Florida, and obviously struggled here recently. So you're going to be more reliant on the perimeter or just Curbelo going to the rim or tossing it to Omar in the pick and roll, or Coleman popping out and hitting the 3. So it might be an adjustment in terms of, okay, Kofi's in the middle, slow down the offense, throw it inside, you know, this many times. But look, I mean, Kofi's been played with a lot of these guys. Like, Curbelo, Demonte, Trent, Grandison. Like, it won't be a totally new thing once you insert him back in. And he'll be practicing as well. So it's not like he will be completely just away from the team for a couple of weeks. So I don't think it'll be a huge concern. And if you were playing maybe Arkansas right off the bat, you might say, okay, that's maybe the biggest test of your non-conference. That's not ideal for playing him in his first game back. But Cincinnati, Big East team, not really expected to be great. I think you can get away with that being his first game, and then you'd hope that you win and expect that Arkansas wins in that Tuesday matchup in Kansas City.
In conclusion, I think they'll be fine.
You said it in the most concise way.
I think it was some nerve. Like, people were nervous about what it could be. In the end, it's about where it should be. I know a lot of people don't like it no matter what, because it's the NCAA, and I understand that. But three games, again, Illinois should be fine through those three games. Even if they drop one, it won't ruin a season, and Kofi Coburn will be here. Like, Kofi Coburn's playing a lot of basketball for Illinois, and that's a really, really great thing.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Derek, before we get out of here, let's talk about the Rook. I did not expect Io DeSumo to play back-to-back games of 21 minutes in wins for the Bulls over the Utah Jazz and the Boston Celtics. And tonight he goes for 14 points. I think it was 6 of 6 shooting. Hits a huge three to go ahead. The Bulls outscored the Celtics 39-11. It's a fun team. DeRozan has been a walking bucket for the Bulls. Caruso and Lonzo Ball are just really good basketball players. But there's Io, man. He must have done something right with Billy Donovan, because he loves him. He's playing a lot. And Zach LaVine and DeRozan seem to love him too. So what do you make of Io DeSumo making a big impact in his rookie year?
It's awesome. It's great to see. And him taking advantage of the opportunity with Kobe White being out is something that obviously is a factor in him getting that many minutes. And he's taking advantage of it. And now, I know it's a small sample size in terms of shooting the three, but that's what everyone wants to talk about with him. Hit both of his attempts tonight, 4 of 7 on the season. And look, that dude's a gamer, and we know that he loves the big moments. And I think it's a perfect situation, because we talked about late first round, how that would have been cool to him going to a playoff contender and being on a winning team and just playing these spot minutes for someone that's going to matter. Those minutes are going to matter in terms of the postseason picture and that whole deal. So you get a Bulls team that's firmly in the postseason picture, they're a winning team, and you get the hometown factor and everything. It's awesome. It's awesome to see what he's doing, and Atlanta Nation get to see him every night on their TV, and tonight, player of the game, and get interviewed by Stacey King. How about that?
Yeah, like 38th pick, what a boon for the Bulls, because he's a good player, right? I mean, there's some good guards taken late in that first round that it was just like, hey, pick which one you like, pick which flavor you like. But he was worthy of one of those picks. But also, like, what a boon for them as a business. Like, how many DeSumo jerseys can you sell? Like, how many people come there? How many Illini fans are watching for your cable subscription there? Like, that's just a huge win for them. But on the court, man, like, he's doing exactly what we knew, because we'd seen him. He was going to play whatever role he had, because he's a professional. Like, he's already a professional. And that's what every guy going to the NBA that was a college star that isn't drafted in the top five, watch how he gets on the court. It's like one of those, like Luke Goody. Watch Luke Goody on the court right now. It's like, that kid knows how he needs to play to get on the court and earn minutes and earn the trust and confidence of his coaches and teammates. And I was doing that. He's lining up on Jason Tatum tonight. I mean, he's lining up on Donovan Mitchell. And sometimes those guys get the best of him. Sometimes he looks a little lost on offense. But the effort's there, the energy's there, and the confidence sure ain't lacking, especially after tonight, Derek.
Yeah, definitely. And throughout the pre-draft, and we know this, you know, having followed him for a long time, but just like the intangibles of the way he prepares, and he is a very confident guy. He's put a lot of work into his craft, and he's a huge competitor, and he has a lot of experience. Like, yeah. You look at some of the guys that were taken in front of him, more raw prospects, and you're maybe looking a little bit more for upside and just physical tools, which that's not to knock Io for his ability, but this is a guy that's had a lot of success, and he's put a lot of work into his game, and then he just loves the moment. He loves winning. He loves to compete, and now this is another chance. And I know that he's probably helping that chip on his shoulder. He's using that, as he has people that have doubted him, and he's taking advantage of it. So we've seen it. We're not surprised by it in terms of him stepping up and doing his thing. But yeah, early on this year to see him doing this, I didn't know that he'd be playing this much. Didn't know he'd be having this success. So that's great. It's great.
Yeah, I will admit, Derek, I did not expect him to be doing this. I expect him, first couple games, 11 minutes, sat for a game, 2 minutes, 11 minutes. Like, I expected that for until Coby White came back. I did not expect him to go 21 minutes, 22 minutes in these games. And I think that just says a lot about the impression he's made on those vets, and especially Billy Donovan, who's a really good coach. So that kudos to him. Kudos to him for doing that. He's earning more opportunity. And I, for one, think he's making Coby White expendable, because Coby White can get buckets. Is he a better overall player? Like, that – they got to have some two-way guys, and Io can be a two-way guy. He's not maybe going to be a star in this league, but I'm not going to count anything out for this kid. But I just think he's making Coby White probably a little nervous about what his role is going to be when he comes back.
Yeah, he's got to be. Yeah, absolutely. And we'll continue to see if I can do some things with the ball in his hands, but maybe he doesn't need to, because you have Levine, who plays with it so much as far as the control, and even like Vooch on the perimeter, DeRozan's mid-range, man. I mean, him and Io see a mid-range contest. That'd be pretty fun to watch. But, yeah, Io with the length, and he does have high upside defensively. I think as he continues to get more minutes and just understand how guys are going to attack him, I think he'll only get better there. And obviously we know he can make shots as well.
Bull's legit, Derek. Like, legit. Like, I'm shooting – I still think a 4 or 5 seed is would be really good for them. But they look legit. Like, I just wanted to split these games against good teams, then beat up on the bad teams in the East. You can get close to 50 wins in a season, which is crazy. I just give a lot of credit to the front office, man. Like, their turnover of this roster and just finding pieces that fit is just night and day from what we've seen. And I give John Paxson some credit putting together the first teams he did, right? But, man, the last decade's just been awful, awful roster construction. And in 2 years, they've done this.
Yeah, I know you're a lot more of a diehard than I am. I've been a casual Bulls fan, very casual here of late, because I haven't had a whole lot of reason. But I almost need to switch this up, because I'm a diehard Bears fan. I think I need to put casual on the Bears and just buy all into the Bulls, because, yeah, we need something. But, yeah, for those that Illini fans maybe didn't dabble a whole lot in the NBA, getting a chance to see him. I mean, I remember watching Darren, and not even when the Bulls weren't all that great, but you knew when Darren was on TV, you want to check that out. So I'm sure you have that dynamic than those that have been waiting to really get into the Bulls, and now looks like the time.
Yeah, if you've been watching, like, if you've been turning into, like, Cavs, Bulls the last couple of years, and that was your representation of the NBA, no. Like, watch Bulls, Sixers the next couple times that these teams play. The NBA is a dang good product, and having a local team that's good and having Io get people in, I hope some of those college fans who haven't watched the NBA in 15 years but say it stinks, maybe watch a Warriors game. Maybe watch them play. That's good basketball. Derek Piper with the Late Night Pod on Kofi and Io. Appreciate it as always, man.
Yep, it was fun, man. Good talking to you.
Great stuff from Derek Piper. Appreciate his time. late on this Kofi Coburn and Io DeSumo podcast. We've had plenty of those over the years, and it's just great for one. I mean, I covered Io, and you try to cover somebody objectively, but I can't help but be a fan. And to see him doing what he's doing, it's been awesome. It's been awesome. And he's one of the best I've covered. He's been great to interact with. He's always given us his time and insight, and to see him succeeding now, it's really cool. Really cool, especially in his hometown, right? Just getting better than that. And he's earning, it's not too early to think he's earning himself a second contract, which is when you really make the money. So kudos to Io. I guess none of us should be surprised, and we aren't, but it's not always guaranteed to succeed at that level. So to see him have this early success seems like it'll lead to big things for Io DeSumo. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. As always, give us a follow wherever you get your podcast. Rate us and review us. That always helps us out. Stay tuned to IlliniInquirer.com for all the latest on Illinois basketball, football, recruiting, and we've got some non-revenue sports coming up this week from our girl, Engie. So you'll see that later on this week on the site. Everybody, take care of each other. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.